Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
When Mary and Joseph arrived at Bethlehem to register in a tax census ordered by the ruling Roman Caesar, there were people everywhere. Mary and Joseph couldn't find a room to stay in. An innkeeper took pity on Mary's condition and let them have a clean stall in the stables. And as we know, this was where God's son, the Messiah, as baby Jesus, was born. Although Jesus would one day be known as the King of Kings and the Lord of all, Jesus' start on earth was very humble. After Jesus was born, Mary wrapped him in long strips of material wound around newborn babies. Why, you might ask, didn't God plan for Jesus to be born in a palace, a nice upper-class house, or even to one of the temple priests? God's plans are often unacceptable to the rich and important people of the land. In Peter's first epistle, chapter 5, it says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." For the Messiah to become the future king of Israel, he had to come from the tribe of Judah, and as a descendant of King David, he couldn't be born into a priestly Levite household. Mary and Joseph were humble and obedient people. They didn't know how things would develop for this special child of God. Yet God the Father timed everything to work out for a good start for his beloved son. After Jesus was born, the angels in heaven understood much more of God's plan to redeem human beings from their sinful condition. The angels rejoiced about this and announced to people on earth about the Redeemer's birth. But they didn't proclaim this to the people that you might expect.
As the shepherds prayed for the coming of the king to David's throne, an angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of God shone about them, and they were sore afraid.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
He is here. Power and glory will return to Israel. O angel of God, where will we find this Savior of Israel?
This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
In a manger?
Then the joy and glory of heaven could no longer be hidden from the shepherds. The whole plain was lighted up with the shining of a great host of angels. Earth was hushed, and heaven stooped to listen as the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." As the angels disappeared, the light faded away, and the shadow of night once again fell on the hills of Bethlehem.
Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
The babe should be easy to find. He will be in a manger. There aren't very many stables and mangers in Bethlehem. Come, let's go.
Yes.
A biblical record of the angels announcing the Messiah's birth to shepherds sitting on a nearby hillside at night is only listed in the Gospel of Luke. At that time, shepherds were looked down on in society. These shepherds whom the angels visited were likely looking after animals that would be used for sacrifices during temple worship as substitutes for people's sin. This first visit to earth by the Lord Jesus as a sinless man of God was so that he could be the final blood and permanent sacrifice for all human beings' sin. Jesus' death satisfied the justice of God, who is holy and calls all to account. But every person on earth needs to claim Jesus' work of deliverance from their own sin for themselves. Being made right in God's sight is done by accepting and trusting in Jesus' finished work on the cross, for Jesus rose from the grave and is to never die again. Only the Lord Jesus has access to his Father in heaven, and the Bible says that we can come to God by no other way. The shepherds weren't the only ones to know of the arrival of the Messiah and see the baby Jesus for themselves. In Luke's Gospel, when week-old baby Jesus was taken to the temple by Mary and Joseph to be presented to the Lord, as the law required, two elderly and godly people saw Jesus and praised God for the coming of the Messiah. In Matthew's Gospel, some months later, a group of wise men from the east visited King Herod in Jerusalem to ask him where the new King of the Jews was born. They said they'd seen his star and they'd come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. He called a meeting of the leading priests and religious teachers and asked them where the Messiah was supposed to be born. They immediately gave him the scriptural answer, Bethlehem. Herod then asked the wise men privately when the star first appeared. He sent them off to Bethlehem and asked them to report back to him when they'd found the child. Isn't it amazing that the chief priests and religious leaders had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years, yet when they heard about the wise men coming to worship the Messiah, they didn't bother to travel the 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see the Holy Child. When the first angel spoke to the shepherds were very afraid. Many times in the scriptures, angels told people not to be afraid at their presence. For those who love God, angels are valuable protectors and helpers. This particular angel gave the message of good news for all people. The Savior of the world had arrived in the city of David, Bethlehem, and the shepherds were told where to find him. Then a vast number of angels in the heavens appeared to the shepherds. They were praising God for the birth of God's own Son. The angels' visit to shepherds is one of the most popular and happy parts of all Christmas reenactments when celebrated each year. The angels praised and honoured God. How now are we to worship God? Worship is an active response to God when we declare to Him His worth. The word worship originally came from the word worth-ship. We worship God by doing acts of love and respect towards Him, praising and thanking Him for His love and salvation, confessing all our known sin and dedicating ourselves to Him. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, it says, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." We praise God by recognising God as our Creator and thanking Him for all the things that He's made. We honour Him by giving Him the credit that He deserves. When our talents and abilities help us to get good results, we thank God for what He's given us. And when God takes things away from us, no matter how dear, we praise Him that His eternal plan outweighs our sorrows on earth. Back in the beginning of time, when God made the universe, everything was founded on God's wisdom and truth. All the laws of nature were built on God's honesty. Then Satan came as a fallen angel from heaven, causing no end of trouble. Satan has at least 5 names in the scriptures. He's called the dragon, indicating ugliness and evil, the serpent, cunning and sly, Satan, an evil adversary against Christ and his church, the devil, a deceiver and slanderer, and the accuser, the source of lying and accusations. The cross of Calvary spelt defeat for the devil. Before Christ, Satan is a defeated foe, and he knows this. God knows it, and you need to be sure of it too. Over time, all lies will be exposed by the facts of God's truth. In the end times, the kingdom of God will be the only kingdom that will survive, for Christ's righteous rule will make it the only kingdom that is established on God's truth and godliness. After a little while, King Herod realized that the wise men had returned home by another route and not by coming back to visit him. So he took out his anger by ordering that all the baby boys under the age of 2 years in Bethlehem be killed. But God knows what's going to happen in the future, and he gave Joseph a warning dream to take his family to Egypt to save baby Jesus' life. That night, under cover of darkness, they left for Egypt. After Herod died, Joseph was told to return to Israel, and the family settled in the city of Nazareth, so that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. The newborn baby Jesus didn't stay small. He grew up into a boy, a teenager, and then a young man. Yet some people want to only remember Jesus as a helpless little baby in a manger. That was only the beginning of Jesus' time here on earth. He came to show all people of all nations just how great God's love is for humans, and that it never really changes. The angels spoke of peace between God and us. Do you have a heart full of peace in your life? True abiding peace comes from being completely cleansed and made new by God's Holy Spirit. Have you admitted your guilt and sin before Jesus and asked Him to become your own personal Savior? For God to give the world His own precious Son as Redeemer shows us just how full of love and holiness that He really is. If you're willing to give up your life to Jesus and do whatever he calls you to do for his service, you can do this now. For no one who knows Christ needs to fear death and God's judgment of their sin anymore. The shepherds told all who would listen the good news of heaven that God's Messiah had been born. If you're a believer in Christ, are you keeping this good news to yourself? Do people living and working around you know that you have committed to put Christ first in your life? Let none of us neglect sharing such good news with those who are in most need of it. The Christmas season is one of the best times to make extra effort to share the gospel with people who've heard about Jesus, but know little of his mission to save them from the penalty of their shameful sin before God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the Lord Jesus invited all who believe in him to be included in this wonderful plan to redeem mankind. Ask your friends and relatives, one at a time, what they think about these things. We have all sinned and deserve God's judgment. God, the Father, sent his only Son to satisfy that judgment for those who believe in him. Jesus, the Creator and eternal Son of God, lived a sinless life, yet he loves us so much that he died for our sins, taking the full punishment that we each deserve. Jesus was buried and rose from the dead, defeating all things that separate humans from God his Father in heaven. If you truly believe and trust in Jesus alone to be your eternal Savior, you can declare that Jesus is Lord and be saved from having to pay the penalty of your own sins yourself and in hell. If your friend mentions that they don't believe in or agree with the Bible, it's best not to argue with them. You can say that you simply want them to understand what the Bible says about eternity. It's a wonderful thing to know that it's not our job to convict a person of their sin. Conviction of heart is God's work. All we can do is share who Jesus is and why we all need him as Savior. Once we've shared the good news of Jesus as God's way to heaven, we can pray for that person and trust that we are in God's will. God will reveal himself to that person. Witnessing for Christ is a no-lose activity. If the person shows interest in Jesus as their Lord, then share a few verses about salvation from the Bible and ask them if they want to make Jesus Lord of their life there and then. Some will want to take time to think it through, so make arrangements to speak with these people again soon. Anyone who makes a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead is born again into God's spiritual family. For in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.